Bible to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. Now I'm going to bring you a message and half of you are going to wonder why. Psalm 127, verse 1. 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now, if you think your Star Wars missile shield and all that stuff is what's keeping you safe, you're daydreaming. If God don't protect you, there ain't no protection. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. Give us real wisdom. And I pray, Lord, you'd open hearts and give understanding. May the Holy Spirit do a supernatural work in us and for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring you a little message tonight entitled, Children. You say, well, ain't nobody here got any young'uns except Brother Lewis. All right, well, I'll just stand over here and preach to Brother Lewis. Well, you in for it, son. Actually, so who needs this message then? Everybody here. I said, well, all my children are grown, so are mine. Thanks be unto God. One of the greatest days of your life is when that last one gets old enough to get married and move out on its own. And mom and daddy just sitting at home, boy, I can come and go when I want to. We don't have to worry about what we're going to do with the young'uns. We ain't got their little hungry mouth running around with us all over the countryside. We can stay out as long as we want to. We have to report to them. It's wonderful just being at home all by yourself. Somebody say amen. 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 So my children are grown. And my grandchildren are rapidly growing up. Now, I really hate that. I didn't mind the kids growing up. I could have kept them grandkids young forever. Somebody said one time, if we'd known how great grandkids were, we'd have had them first. I think that's the truth. But they're growing up. And, of course, you'll notice, anytime children grow up, that's almost synonymous for grow away. And I know it has to be that way, but, boy, I don't like it. I remember just a few years ago, I would come home every afternoon, and I had an old diesel truck, and it was real noisy. And them kids could hear that diesel truck a mile away. And that old dog we had named Jack, that fool dog would start barking. I mean, when he heard that truck, he would start throwing a fit. And them kids would come running out of the house, and they'd be standing in the driveway when I got there. And the two little ones wanted to get up in the back and ride in the back of my truck. And Ryan would sit on my lap, and I'd let him drive. He couldn't reach the pedals, but he'd sit on my lap, and I'd let him drive the truck. They thought that was the coolest thing. Then Kristen got to where she wanted to drive it. She got a little bigger, and I'd come home, and she wanted to drive, and they'd fight over who's going to drive. Now, we're talking about getting to drive all of 250 feet. I mean, about halfway around this building would be it, you know. But they'd fight over that. And sometimes we'd be going someplace, and I'd be driving, and the kids would say, "Race it, Pa, race it." I mean, they want me to mash the accelerator and go into passing gear. Or sometimes they'd say, "Let's cruise, Pa." And of course, you have to resist that temptation sometimes. I've let them kids drive all over York County. My wife fusses at me and fusses at me. "You're going to get caught. You're going to get in trouble." I think, well, if I do, bless God, I'll just pay the fine. But I'm going to let them do it anyhow. Amen. And so I enjoyed raising, but man, they just about grown now. And now they don't want to come out and drive your truck. They don't want to go out and shoot the bow and arrow when you come home. They're not knocking on my door saying, Pa, let's go out and throw the ball a while. Now they've got other interests, and they want to go here, and they want to go there, and they've got their friends, and I hate it. If you just want to know the honest truth, I just hate it. I liked it when their world revolved around me and Nana and home. The boy just seems like that quick. And so growing up is kind of synonymous with growing away. And I know it's a natural process, and you can't stop it, and this, that, and the other, but hey, nothing in the book says you gotta like it. Amen. And so my kids are grown, and now my grandkids are about gone, and here I am still preaching about children instead of wine. Well, I think everybody that I know needs messages on children, just like every couple, I don't care how long they've been married, needs refresher courses in marriage. So here's who needs messages on children. People who are going to have them. I wish that before my children came along, somebody had taught me some things about raising children. There's some mistakes I would not have made. I wish that there had been a college course or a church course or something on how to raise children. I wish somebody had given me a book to deal with it. It would have been good to have Dr. Dobson's book, The Strong-Willed Child. Somebody say amen. And Dr. Howe's book on how to raise children and how to raise teenagers. And had two girls, it would have been nice to have Dr. Howe's book, Blue Denim and Lace. I've got all those books now. I've read all those books. But they weren't there when my children were little. It would have been nice. So who needs messages on raising children? Boys and girls who are going to be mamas and daddies. That's who. Amen. You'll do a whole lot better job, and you won't be so overwhelmed by the task if you have some prior preparation. Things are always easier. Things always get done better. Things always go smoother if you prepare beforehand. So, future parents need it. So who else needs it? People who have got kids. I'm here to tell you, son, if you've got kids, you need all the help you can get. Children these days are exposed to so much. It's not like when I was a little boy, or when Brother Henry was a little boy, back before they invented electricity. So how long has Henry been around? Longer than asphalt's been on the highway. But when me and Henry was boys, we got out in the street and played stickball and stuff. Or the boys would go out and play in the woods all day, and the girls made cookies and played baby dolls and learned how to change diapers and that kind of stuff, you know. Life was simple. Now, they don't know anything about any of that. The boys don't know how to work, and the girls don't know how to be mamas. They don't know how to cook. Boys and girls both these days all know how to have sex. They've watched enough TV, there's no mystery left. Amen. There's none of this blushing bride on the honeymoon night anymore. Most of them been playing husband and wife for months or years before they finally get married. I talked to a couple not long ago, and I said, what you doing on your honeymoon? He said, oh, we went on a cruise, went down to Bahamas. He said, she went shopping with her friends, and I went and played golf. Well, they've been living together for 3 years. We live in a strange world. The world's not like it now, like it was when Brother Henry and I were youngins. Now they got MTV and videos and cell phones and iPods and every kind of gadget. Now we encourage them to have boyfriends and girlfriends when they 8, 9, 10 years old, and just insanity. When we were growing up, it was a pretty simple, straightforward world. It ain't like that anymore. So who needs the message on children? Folks who've got kids. Because the situation changes and the pressures are so intense, and it's Christian and non-Christian alike. It's private school, public school, to make any difference. And so we need to stay in touch with God and the principles that God would have us raise our children by. If you've got kids, you need it. Who else needs it? Grandparents. Now, there's a couple of reasons grandparents need messages about how to raise children. Number one, grandparents need it so that they don't interfere or subvert the principles that mama and daddy are trying to put in their children's head. It's a lot easier if the grandparents are in tune with, in touch with, mom and daddy. Now, I don't know about you, but when my kids were growing up, we were Christian. My dad wasn't. And a couple of times he tried to stick his nose in my affairs raising my children. And so we had to have real words. I told him to butt out and shut up. I wasn't going to have anybody undermine the way I wanted to raise my children. I wanted to raise them for God. Amen? And if he couldn't support that, he didn't have any say. It makes for a lot more harmonious family relationship if grandma and grandpa are on the same page with mom and daddy. Amen? Nothing more aggravating to me than mom and daddy tell their little boy and girl one thing, and then they go to grandma and grandpa, and grandma and grandpa say, well, do so and so. And they say, mom and daddy won't let us do that. Well, it'll be all right this time. No, sir, it won't. You change what I taught my kids, son, me and you are going to fight. See? Grandma and grandpa ought to understand where mom and daddy are coming from and support it and back it. You never, whether you agree or disagree, you never undermine children's parents. You just don't do that. Somebody say amen. Let's just say, for example, Brother Lewis is teaching his son and his daughter one thing, and I disagree with it. And I say, well, as the pastor, I'll say, you don't have the right to do that. Buddy, you don't get much more personal than the husband and wife or mamas and daddies and their young'uns. And you better be mighty careful sticking your nose in there. Amen. Who needs messages on children? Folks who are going to be parents. Folks who are parents. And grandparents. Amen. So does that leave anybody out? Not that I can think of. Amen. Hillary Clinton, or I think it was Hillary, wrote that book, It Takes a Village, which is an idiot concept. Of course, you would expect that because she is an idiot. Amen? It doesn't take a village. It takes a family. But now it does take a family. Children need a mama and a daddy. For years they ran around telling us that a one-parent household was as good for children as a two-parent household. But now guess what they've done? They've changed their position again, and they decided that kids really do need a daddy. After laughing fatherhood into the trash can for 40 years, you realize this country, I'm getting away from my subject matter, but I'll get back over there in a minute, maybe. You realize that for almost 40 years, this country, in the media, especially movies and television, did everything it could to make fathers irrelevant. They did. Every father on every TV show was a fumble-fisted dumb-thump, about half-bright, always, not the village idiot, you know, but always about a half a step behind everybody else. Never quite in touch with his children or what his children were doing. Ozzie and Harriet, remember that? Nice, clean family show. But Ozzie never was quite up on the step. Now, they didn't make it look like he was an idiot or a fool. They just made him just enough out of touch that he wasn't relevant. And we've done that with show after show after show after show after show, so that modern day America thinks mamas are supposed to raise their kids. Find that in the Bible. Go ahead. I D-double dog dare you. You know who is ultimately responsible for the raising of children? Daddy. Sell that in 2007 in America. Who needs message on children? Children. It never hurts for a child to understand where mama and daddy are coming from, why they do what they do, why they require what they require, why they expect what they expect. Now, when they're 3, 4, and 5 years old, you can say, do this, do that, and they'll say, why? And you can say, because I said so. And that'll fly for a while. But after a while, it doesn't fly anymore. They may still do it, but they resent it. They would like an explanation. And you were the same way. You got to a point, you wanted to know why you had to do something you thought was dumb. Amen? And it would have been a lot easier if somebody had just given you a brief overview and said, we do this because, and in one or two sentences explained it. 99 out of 100, that satisfies the child. You don't have to go into or give them a college course on it. Just give them a reasonable reason. Say, how old are they when they need that? About 25. So I want to talk to you about children tonight. It's amazing what the Bible has to say about it. It is absolutely amazing what you can learn about raising children and doing it properly. It's amazing what you can foresee about children. If you read your Bible and study it properly, you can see certain things that are going to come down the road. If you've got children, it's just as inevitable as the sun coming up in the morning. Children grow. What does that mean? That means they change. That means you can't get in a rut with your children and say, well, my children do this, my children do that, and I know them inside out, and this is the way it's always going to be. Because if they grow and mature, and their little minds work, and their little minds get filled up, their thoughts change, their desires change, their chemistry changes. They're always in a constant state of flux. They are never, ever constant. And the parent that gets in a rut and thinks that they've reached this plateau and that's where they're going to be, and this is the way they're always... They say, oh, my little boy's never given me any trouble. My little girl never gave me any trouble. They're the best child. Well, give them a while. It'll change. Amen? Well, preacher, I know probably you're right most of the time, but I know my kids, and we've raised them right, and there are certain things my kids aren't ever... You're too dumb to breathe. Son... When they get to puberty, the whole world gets turned upside down. When they get introduced and interested to the opposite sex, you don't know them anymore. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said there's four things too wonderful for me, four things I understand not. What's that? The way of an eagle in the air, a snake, a serpent up on a rock, a ship in the sea, and a man with a maid. If you think you know what boys and girls are going to do, you're out of your ever-loving mind. Somebody say amen. And so, that's why we keep preaching on it, and preaching on it, and preaching on it. And you know something? I think sometimes people who don't have children, who have never had children, who don't have them now, who are not going to have them, who don't have grandkids, who are not in that kind of an environment, they still need to know about kids. You might be able to give good advice to somebody you work with. You ever work down there where you work and people come in and they're talking about what their kids have done? Or what they're fixing to do with their kids or for their kids or to their kids? We got 17 employees. I listen to them all the time. Especially them two ladies in the front office. One of them's got 2 or 3 grandkids and one of them's got, the other one's got a couple of young'uns. And I listen to them ladies sometimes. And I think, my goodness, y'all need to come to church and find out what it's all about. Y'all ain't got a clue. That one little old girl, God bless her heart, she ain't got a clue how to raise them kids. They run her. She told that other girl one day, I was going out the door and I heard them talking and she said, I am tickled to death to come to work every morning. So why are you tickled to death? Because them kids of hers are running her crazy because she can't control them. She can't do one thing with them. I thought to myself, it'd be a cold day in a warm place when a three-year-old and a five-year-old run me. It'd be a cold day in a warm place when a three-year-old and a five-year-old disrupt the way this family operates. Amen. Well, I forget what the little boy's name is. So-and-so didn't want to do so-and-so. And she was 20 minutes late to work trying to talk him into it. That would have took 10 seconds, sweetheart. So let me give you, and I won't give you all of these because there's 17 of them. This really could be a long, drawn-out series. But I'm just going to give you a couple of the more pertinent ones that deal with children. Because the Bible just has so much to say about it. And the advice that the Bible gives is so insightful and so helpful. Let me start here in Psalm 127:3 because it said, children are God's reward. Children are the heritage of the Lord. They're God's reward. Isn't that what that verse said? Didn't he call them children a reward? That's what you get for bringing in the bad guy, isn't it? Children are a reward. They're a heritage from the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that God loves them youngins. And God entrusted them youngins to you. They came from Him. The children are an heritage from the Lord. They say, well, they're my kids. And ain't nobody going to tell me how to raise my kids. I almost agree with that. Except, I want God to tell me how to raise my kids. I want God to tell you how to raise your kids. Because if we raise them like God said raise them, we'll raise them a whole lot better. Now, I'm a firm believer that there is no guarantee on how kids are going to turn out. I've seen kids that come from the worst families you can possibly imagine. I know a family that had a little girl and two little boys. Mama was the town slut. She'd been in bed with half the drunks and half the bars in the county. Daddy was a drunk and a womanizer. They lived from hand to mouth. They lived in a trashy, rundown house. It's just the worst possible situation you can imagine. And one boy and one girl turned out so good. Worked themselves through college, became productive citizens. Now, the other boy ended up just like mom and dad. He ain't worth 15 cents. Now, all three of them kids raised in the same place by the same mom and daddy in the same circumstance. How come they didn't all three turn out the same? They say children raised by alcoholics are 9 times more likely to become alcoholics. Children raised in abusive homes are more likely to be abusive. Really? From my observation, which is somewhat limited, I suppose, but from my observation, it all depends on the individual. Some kids look at that and say, I ain't living like this. I'm not living in a hell hole. I'm not listening to all this screaming and fighting and drunk. I'm not going to spend my whole life and not have a pot to throw out the wind. I'm not going to live like that. And they make something out of themselves. On the other hand, there's some that say, well, this is mom and not mom and daddy like. Well, it's good enough for them. It's good enough for me. And they just jump right in the hog pen. Well, who made that determination? Circumstance? Genetics? Being at risk? No. The individual did. Amen. How many people do you know, maybe you're one of them, you raised your kids as best you could, tried to teach them right and wrong, tried to bring them up in church, tried to get them to live right, and they've broken your heart and disappointed you and done things that you never in a million years thought your children would do? Where'd they get it? I'm here to tell you, my children have done things they did not learn at home. They didn't get it at home. They didn't see it, they didn't hear it. And I bet yours have too. Say, who's responsible for that? They are. They have a mind of their own, a will of their own. How to get off on that? I'm just having fun. Children are an heritage from the Lord. Now, if they're from God and we want to do the best we can for them, what's the best thing you can do for your children? What is the number one, absolute best thing you can possibly do for your children? Give them back to God. Give them back to God. Take that little bundle of joy laying there all red and wrinkled and ain't got a tooth in his head and slobber running down his chin. And you know, I've always thought mothers had an extra measure of grace. You ever see them little old babies, you know, they got a bottle or whatever, and mama feeds them, and then you got to burp them. And so mama puts a little thing up on its shoulder, you know, its little head's laying there like that, and its little butt's right here, and mama's patting it on the back and doing, I don't know why they do this. I guess it's an innate thing about the incivility of women or something, but I mean, they just, and they pat that little thing, and that baby will burp, and all that gooey, slimy, clabbered, stinking milk comes out all over mama's little blouse and down her neck. And you know what mama will do? She'll turn that little fella over and wipe his mouth off and kiss him. You see what just came out of its mouth? Thank God for mamas, amen? You want that kid to have the best shot at making it? No guarantee now, no guarantee. There are no guarantees. But the best shot. If when it's little, give it back to God. And I don't mean just say, well, now, Lord, I'm giving you this baby. God entrusted you to raise it. So if you give it back to God, then God expects you to raise it for Him. Amen? That means it's now up to you to raise it the way God wants it raised. You say, this is inheritance from the Lord. Lord, thank you for the loan. We will enjoy it. We'll get years of pleasure out of this child. We thank you for letting it dwell in our midst. We thank you for entrusting us with its safety and its upbringing and its training. And Lord, by the grace of Almighty God, give us strength and wisdom and guidance. We will raise it for Thee. That means that from that day forward, you are obligated, you are duty bound to do everything you can to raise that child for God. There's some things mamas and daddies letting the kids do these days God wouldn't be approving of. Amen. Somebody convince me. Somebody give me a logical argument, a verse of Scripture, a principle. I'll take anything. Somebody give me a principle where God would ever approve of a Christian mom and dad letting their little girl be a cheerleader. I didn't think so. Hello, I'm waiting. I'll take book, chapter, and verse. I'll take another translation. I'll take anything. You know why you ain't saying nothing? Because you know it ain't in there. And I know it ain't in there. God ain't never wanted some little old girl to get out there and shake her booty. I'm sorry, pal. He said, well, they go to a Christian school and they wear culottes. Yeah? Well, when you do this, you might as well not have them culottes. Amen? And them culottes can't hide all nature gave you. I can give you a million examples. I see Christians do things that they say, I'm trying to raise this child for God. You ain't convinced me. I don't think you convinced God because you're letting them do things God Almighty and the preacher wouldn't approve of. And I think me and God's pretty much in sync most of the time about that stuff. Amen. Anyway, moving right along here. Children are God's reward. Secondly, children grow. So what does that mean? That means you've got to constantly be changing. That means you've got to be constantly aware. You've got to be constantly watching them children. Their mental skills change. Their perception of things change. Their ability to be inquisitive or to inquire about things change. And what would pass off without a notice yesterday suddenly becomes a major interest today and a major issue tomorrow. Parents, you got to stay flexible. You got to stay on your feet. You got to watch that child's interest change. You've got to watch their vocabulary change. You just got to watch them like a hawk. I'm telling you, being a good parent is a 24/7 by 365 day process. There's no time off. There are no breaks. Not only do children grow. By the way, I got verses for all these things. I'll give them to you if you want me to. Judges 13:2. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Amen. They grow. Now see, I don't know what you get when you read a verse like this, and the child grew. First time I read that, I stopped right there. I thought, if it's growing, it's changing. It's getting bigger. It's getting wiser. It's getting smarter. Amen. You know what that means? That means it's capable of knowing more, doing more. It's also capable of being more devious, more sneaky. Number three. Children are not capable of some things. Ecclesiastes 10:16 said, "Woe unto thee, unto the land where thy king is a child." Well, the idea there is what? A child's not capable of leading a nation. They don't have the background. They don't have the wisdom. See? There are some things your children can't do. That's why God gave them parents. God put you there to do for them what they can't do for themselves. And there's a lot they can't do. And I hear parents all the time. Some parents, they just need horse whipping. That's what they need. They just need somebody to take a cat of nine tails and give them 39 lashes. But they're just too dumb to have kids. They'll ask a kid, "Well, what do you want to do? What do you want?" And the kid rattles something off. And mom and daddy's sitting there knowing the kid ought not to be doing that. That it's not the wisest thing. It's not the best course. And you know what they'll do? They'll let the kid do it anyway. And then when you say, "Well, if you knew it wasn't a good thing, why did you let them?" Well, that's what they wanted to do. I don't care what they wanted to do. My wife gave me an article the other day, and it talked about how many parents, Christian and non-Christian, rent movies, rent video games, and this, that, and the other, that they do not approve of the content, but they buy them for their children anyway. The language and the actions and the dress in those things are very questionable. They're not appropriate. They said, "Well, why in the world did mom and daddy buy them anyway?" Because them kids wanted them. Because everybody else is doing it. And because the little monster you've raised that you didn't control when it was a baby and who is out of control now demanded that they buy it. And so they bought it. Now, some things kids can't do. And some of the things that they can't do is they can't discern things. They don't have the judgment. That's what mom and daddy's supposed to be able to say, "No." Not no, but heck no. Not only not now, not ever. You want one of them? Get a job. Amen. Buying kid things that cost $300, $400, and $500 and giving their own TV set and their own computer and their own phone and their own this and their own. Hey! Let them grow up! Let them buy it yourself! The answer to all that stuff is no telephone, no computer, no private TV. You want to play on a computer? Do it in the living room with mom and daddy. You want to talk on the telephone? There's a landline right there. And no, you don't need to go in the other room and make a phone call. You want to talk? You can talk right out here in front of mom and daddy. Amen. If what you've got to say can't be said out loud where me and everybody else in the house can hear it, you don't need to be talking about it. Amen.
preacher.
Hey, I'm a throwback to antiquity, son. I am some kind of dinosaur. I am prehistoric. Children, a child's understanding. Oh, I'm in the wrong one. I know. Child's understanding is insufficient. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. Children won't listen. Every time a child sees something that they think is cool, they want it. And they got no discernment about it. You can't even tell them, listen, you're not old enough for that. You can't handle that. You don't have the skills to deal with that. I'll be okay. It'll be all right. I know how. I know how. Let me. You ever hear watch kids? They know how to do everything. Ask them. There's nothing they can't do. You ever, they start to do some risky thing, you know, and you say, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. Oh, no, we're not going to get hurt. Crack. Oh, my arm's broke. Why is your arm broke, dummy? Because you did something you didn't know how to do. You know what mom and daddy got to do? You got to be smarter than the kid, and you got to tell them no, and then you have to make no stick. I'm sick and tired of hearing parents say, well, I told them not to. I told them to do this. I told them not to do that. Yeah, but sweetie, you didn't make them. Don't you understand? Children only do what you make them do. Well, I told them to clean the house. Did they clean it? No, they got to playing and they got to doing this. They was on the phone and they didn't get it done. Then you ought to tear their butt up. So, well, I fussed at them and I told them next time they do that, there's not going to be a 3 o'clock popsicle. Time out. Sometimes children just are insufficient when it comes to understanding. They don't understand the risks. They don't understand the dangers. Boy, I could preach a whole message. I could probably preach a whole series of messages on things that kids think are okay, that one, God thinks is not okay, two, parents think is not okay, and that history proves wasn't okay. But every one of them kids thought they could handle it. They was old. It was all right. They knew what they were doing. They were going to be careful. Blah, 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 blah. And every time it ends up in some kind of heartache, some kind of a disaster. Children need protecting. In Genesis chapter 33 and verse 1, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. Now everybody knows that story. Old boy's brother's after him. He thinks he's going to get killed, and he's got two wives and a whole pack of children. And so he said, well, if he attacks one, the other one will get away. So he put half the children with this wife and half the children with that wife and sent them in different directions. And what's he doing? He's protecting his children. Now, there are several responsibilities that are inherent in parenthood. Everybody understands that it is our job to supply or to provide. It's up to mom and daddy to provide a dwelling place, provide clothing, provide shelter, provide food, provide training. But ladies and gentlemen, it's also our duty to provide protection. And not just protection in the sense of security from muggers and robbers and that kind of stuff. Not just national security, not just the security of the dwelling place. But it's our job to protect them in every way where they need protecting. Amen? It is our job to protect our children from themselves when they're unwise, when they want to have things or do things that are harmful or potentially harmful. Then it's my job as a parent to say, I'm sorry, you just can't do that. See what? Well, I'm protecting them from themselves. It's my job to protect them from other people. My children have friends that I don't deem good friends, then they're not friends anymore. said, well, you can't tell people who they can like and who they can't like. No, but I can tell you who you can be around and who you can't be. You can like them all you want to, but you're going to like them long distance because they ain't coming. And you ain't going. Somebody say amen. So what are you doing? I'm protecting them. I raised two girls. It was difficult to come see my girls if and you was a boy. Because you had to pass through daddy. And if I didn't like your look, if you come to my house and you had one of them shaggy hairdos, or you wasn't dressed right, or you didn't show any manners, you pull up in front of my house and honk your horn, you'd be sitting there until hell froze over before my daughter came outside. If you couldn't come to that front door and see daddy, you wouldn't go no place. Amen? And if you weren't comfortable sitting at home and enjoying an evening with mom and dad every now and then, you still didn't need to be around my girls. Amen? If you always had to go someplace and you didn't want to go nobody but just you and her, you wasn't going there either. I raised two girls. One of them stayed hungry. She was 28 years old. And neither one of my girls has ever been on a single date. Well, that's just over the top. You think whatever you want to? I'm protecting my girls. You don't trust them. Absolutely not. I am of them that have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. I know the flesh. It's wicked as the devil. You say, well, they're good Christian youngins and they come from good Christian homes and they go to King James Baptist Church. Yeah? And they're curious. You know, I don't know what it is about girls when they fall in love that they just make them willing to throw themselves away. Good girls. Girls that know better. Girls that if you talk to them, could give you all the right answers and the reasons for it. And then they lose their head and they just go nutty as a fruitcake. Because some boy, he loves me. If he loved you, he wouldn't be encouraging you to go against your conscience. If he loved you, he wouldn't ask you to do things you've been taught were wrong. If he loved you, he wouldn't try to get you to do things that Christ wouldn't approve of. Amen. If he loved you, he wouldn't try to get you to go against what the preacher been teaching you for the last 20 years. That boy don't love you. He just wants to use you. Somebody say amen. Moms and dads, you see one of them leaky little things coming around, you just run that sucker right on off. You say, well, it'll break her heart. Better to break her heart than ruin her life. Little old boys, same way. I mean, there's some sorry, trashy little old girls out there, you know. You know what your job is, Mom and Dad? Protect your youngins. And if you wait until they understand or they approve of what you're doing or they give their consent, it'll be way too late, son. You just have to do it sometimes whether they like it or not. Sometimes children need protecting. It's almost time to be through and I ain't half through. Children are often foolish. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You ever notice? How do you know when somebody's being foolish? When they're doing frivolous things when important things are going on. They're always preoccupied with the wrong thing. Their priorities are not correct. That's foolishness, see? But I don't have time for that one. Children develop a reputation. If you've got a young'un, boy or girl, you got a grand young'un, boy or girl. Everybody that knows them thinks something about them. They develop a reputation. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said in Proverbs 20, verse 11, even a child is known by his what doings. The Bible said, let no man despise thy youth. Sometimes I start to get dressed on Sunday morning, and I'm not exactly a fashion guru. Now, I think preacher ought to look nice. I think I ought to be presentable and respectable. I don't think I ought to come out here with too many mustard stains on my ties and too discoordinated. But I don't always exactly know what color goes with what. What are you laughing at? I'll get dressed, and I'm perfectly fine. I think I look good. And I walk in the living room and my wife say, go take that off. You are not wearing that to church. I said, what's wrong with it? And she'll tell me, I said, oh, people don't care what I wear. She said, you reflect on me. Now, I was in good shape. I would have kept on what I had on until she got to there. I didn't want her to look bad. I thought I looked fine, by the way. I'm not so sure sometimes she's right about that stuff. But when she says, you can't wear that, you reflect on, what will people think of me if I let you go to church looking like that? You know, I thought that same thought about mamas and daddies a million times. We was in a mall a couple of weeks ago. My wife said, we were going to go to dinner. And she said, let's go eat dinner, then let's go to the mall and get a Starbucks, and we'll just sit in the mall and watch the zoo. I said, okay, whatever you want to do. And so we did. We went down, had a nice dinner, and we went down to Starbucks and got a big old mocha grande and all that, you know, and fixed it all up. And we go out and we find ourselves a seat out there in the mall, you know, between all those little hut thingies. And we're watching the zoo. And son, I'm telling you now, it's a zoo. Lord have mercy. There is nothing you can't see. I mean, there ain't nothing you can't see. And I don't know how many times I saw a mama and a daughter out shopping. And the daughter is all but falling out. I mean, it's just... my wife would say, look at that. And I said, oh, I don't want to look. I'm having a hard time here. Help me, you know. It's about... and this little girl is with her mama. And sometimes they're with daddy. And I'm going to tell you, daddy, you don't need to see that much of your little girl. Pervert. I guarantee you, God is my witness, mine never would have gone out that front door looking like that. Amen. Man, they got a thing now where them girls are wearing the micro mini things. I mean, they just barely are long enough to hide their undies. There ain't no way in the world they can sit down. There ain't no way in the world they can bend over. So who let them do that? Mom and daddy? Who do you think bought them clothes and paid for it? Them kids ain't got no job. Insane, man. I mean, just absolutely, certifiably insane. Ought to be locked up. What point am I on? Does anybody remember? Oh, yeah. I knew I could. Thank you. I was having such fun, I just slammed for God. My wife says it reflects on him, on her. The way you raise your kids reflects on you. But ultimately, the way we raise God's children reflects on Him. There's some things I just don't want nobody to say about my children's mom and daddy. Amen? And so there's just some things that they just ain't going to do. There's just some places they're not going to go. There's some fashions they're not going to wear. There's some things they got to listen to. And there's some folks they ain't running with. And they can hair-lip every cow in Texas, and I just plain flat don't care. Amen? And you can understand or not understand. You can get mad. You can like it, hump it, thump it, dump it, or jump it. I don't give a rip. It just ain't going to happen. And I think every mom and daddy ought to be just like that. Your children reflect on you. And all children have a reputation. Children are known by their... yeah, people know who your kids hang out with. They know how they behave. They know that they're always... you ever notice that you go someplace... where there's a lot of young people, and 80% of them will be out in the middle, and they're laughing and cutting up and playing and participating, but there's always that little fringe group that's got to get off in a corner someplace, or just they want to get right just where you can't see them, and they always whisper. How come? You tell me what a 13, 14-year-old, 15, 18, 19, 20-year-old has got to talk about that you can't talk about right out here. Amen. Amen? I always found that those kids where the haircut was borderline, where the clothes were borderline, and who were always standing around a little group, whispering and just kind of chilling by themselves, you know, there's something up. Don't trust that group. Amen. I always tell my kids when they were growing up, I said, whatever you're doing, I said, you be right out in the middle. And find the kids that are known for being the best kids. Hang with them. Whether they're supposed to be the most fun or not. Don't look for the ones that's the coolest or the biggest or the baddest. Amen? Find you somebody that's a participator. Somebody that's in the middle of this thing. Somebody that's involved. Somebody that's the good kids. And if you hang out there, if you stay out in the middle where the lights are on and where everybody's at, you won't be in no trouble. The ones that get in trouble is the one that's hanging out there about the edge of the door. That's always right around the corner. That's over in this little group with just two or three. Amen. You get a reputation, children. People observe you. You think you're doing something, you think you're getting away with it, you think you're being cool. I'm here to tell you, everybody sees you. And they may not always say something, but they form an opinion. What opinion do they form? Amen? What when people form an opinion of the children, what do they think about mom and daddy? You reflect on them. Now, I don't have time to do. Children ought to be obedient. Ephesians 6:1, Colossians 3:20. Children ought to be restrained. Now, boy, I could preach a whole message right here. This is a scary passage. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, it said, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. You know what that's talking about? That's called God killing two of Eli's boys. Because they were doing things that were wrong. And these were full-grown men. They were doing things that weren't right, and daddy didn't say a mumbling word to them. You know what he did? He was a typical 2007 parent. You ought to go over there sometime and read that passage. He called them boys in because God warned him. So he called them boys in, and here's what he said. He said, it is not a good thing I hear about thee. He said, I've been hearing stories about y'all and behaving. He said, they're not good. Now y'all need to straighten up your act. And he let them go. And they laughed at the old fool and went on and did just what they always did. And God said, okay, you won't straighten them out? I'll straighten them out for you. And he put them both on the ground. He could have avoided that. He could have spared them boys. But he spared the rod instead. Amen? Children need to be supervised. Proverbs 29:15. Children need to be corrected. Proverbs 23:13 and 14. Children need to be trained. There's a difference. Training and being taught, I have under two separate categories because it's two different things. Training has to do like with potty training. Those things that we teach them by repetition and example, you have to teach children how to wash the dishes. You have to teach a boy how to wash a car, see? And so I use teaching in that sense, or training in that sense, and teaching or taught in the sense that we need to give them books to read and they need to learn about history and society and this, that, and the other, see? So I broke that kind of in two phases, but they need both. Bible, the grandchildren are great. I love this verse. Proverbs 17:6 said, children's children are the crown of old men. We love them grandkids. Somebody say amen. Now, Brother Bruce has got six little monsters. But boy, you better be teasing like I am when you say that. Oh, man, I tell you, you don't mess with somebody's youngin', and don't mess with somebody's grandyoungin'. I don't know which one will get you in more trouble. Matter of fact, I just can't hardly make a distinction. You mess with my youngins, and sometimes they probably need it. But you ain't going to do it. Amen? And my grandkids, sometimes I know for sure they need it. But you ain't going to do it. Amen? Now, I spoil my grandkids a lot more than my my own kids, and for a couple of reasons. One, as you get older, you get softer. Amen. You're willing to let things slide when you get older. You wouldn't let slide. I think sometimes we made too big a deal out of some things when the kids were growing up. And we learned some lessons, and we not quite as harsh and hard with the grandkids. And, of course, sometimes that just plain turns into mush. It's just you got soft. Amen. There was difference between how we raised the kids and the grandkids because when the kids were growing up, we had three kids in private school. We had no money. We was broke all the time. It took everything we could make to keep them kids in school and keep them dressed and let them do a few little things that the school was doing, this, that, and the other. And you can't put them in a school like that and not let them do some things. Now, we get carried away these days. Mamas and daddies think kids ought to do it. Whatever the church is doing, the kids got to be in it. Whatever the school is doing, the kids got to participate in it. No, you only get to do some of that stuff. But you do have to let them do some. You can't put them there and then isolate them from it. Amen? So, when my kids were growing up, it took every dime we had just to keep them in school and keep them dressed and looking decent. Now, I got grandkids, and I don't mean to imply we got money because we don't have money, but we're a whole lot better off now than we were then. Amen? And so I can buy things and do things for my grandkids I couldn't do for my kids. And I'm enjoying it. We've had a time. I've spent a fortune on them little suckers. I know what you're laughing at. It's fun to do it though, amen? I don't regret one nickel. A couple years ago, we took the kids on vacation. And we went down to the Grand Ole Opry Hotel because some singing group was having a thing down there. I forget what it was. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Ole Opry Hotel or not, but that's a pretty awesome place. It's a big old thing covered with a dome, and they got three or four different areas. I mean, it really is wild. Man, we took them kids down there, and they was going all over the place going like, that was cool. They got pictures made with all kind of people, and they took little boat rides and all that stuff. I wouldn't take nothing for that memory. Amen. But all that cost money, which I didn't have when I was raising my own. So we tend to raise. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying children's children are an heritage of old men. Amen. If you got grandkids, you ought to enjoy them. But you never undermine parents to do it. I got six grandkids by two daughters. And be quite honest with you, I don't always agree on how they're raising them. But I never tell them kids that. I never say, well, your mom and daddy are wrong about this. This is right. I ain't going to do that. Now, I might go to mom and daddy when ain't nobody around and hash it out with them. I might do that. But I ain't undermining them youngins. Amen? You wouldn't want nobody to do it to you. So, mom and grandma and grandpa, whether you agree or not, at least around them children, you better support mom and daddy. You do it their way. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm hurrying. I've been long-winded all day today. I think I'm really learning to like talking. Children need to be taught. Children need to be trained. Where am I at? Grandchildren are great. I'll close with this. Children must be brought to Christ. They're not born saved. They're not born godly. They're not born regenerated. Just because mom and daddy are saved, because grandma and grandpa are saved, they'll make a dime's worth of difference. Your children were born lost, dead in trespasses and sin. And they won't come to Christ on their own. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible said, and they brought young children to him. Of course, then the disciples rebuked him. But in verse 14, the Bible said, Jesus saw it. He was much displeased. Here's what he said. He said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. He said, bring them kids. You know what we ought to do? Every mom and daddy, every grandma and every grandpa ought to work and labor night and day and pray without ceasing to get them kids to Christ. The younger they are, the easier are they to bring. The older they get, the more difficult it becomes to get them to God. Now, you can't, it's kind of a paradox. You can't force children. You ought not to browbeat them. You ought not to put pressure on them to get saved. It has to be voluntary. It has to be spontaneous. It has to come from their heart. See, then how do you do that? One, you pray for them. Two, you set an example. Three, you keep them where the Word of God is. That is, you keep them in church. Man, if you've got kids, you've got grandkids, how in the world does any grandparent, how does any parent that professes to be saved by God's grace miss church? It is absolutely required that I be here to set an example. That those children know that God and church have the preeminent place in my heart and in my life. It's incumbent upon me to do anything and everything I can to set an example, to point a way that will bring them to Jesus Christ. Now, they have to come to that on their own. But, buddy, it's up to me and you to set the stage. Amen? All right, that concludes my rant for the night. Let's bow our head. Brother Lewis, if you would dismiss us, please.